We do get easily enamored with the things of this world. Stuff just seems to grow roots into us sometimes. And we get so distracted from the eternal by the temporary. And we're thankful that you have abundantly blessed us. Oh, Father, let us be faithful with that which you've entrusted to us. To not let it distract us, but let it be a demonstration of our devotion to you. So thank you for Jesus. Lord, we just pray that our hearts and our minds would be tuned to him this morning. Jesus, draw us after yourself. You are our good shepherd, our faithful Savior, our coming King. Rule over us. May you turn us back to the Father. So teach through me today, Father, for that purpose, that we might know you and follow you and glorify you and experience the joy of walking with you. For his name and his glory. Amen. You may be seated. All Scripture is inspired by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. Amen? Amen? Amen. We have the truth. And it says that the workman may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. You and I can be equipped for every good thing that God wants to do in your life through an understanding of his word. Everything is there that you need to step into this. So how? How is it, if you're like me, that we can know that's so, and drag our feet in the process to get there. And hesitate so much in this journey. And so there's a key to entering into this that's talked about. It's mentioned there in 2 Timothy 3:16, and it's mentioned in the passage that we're going to. He says, all Scripture is given and is profitable for teaching and for what? For reproof. And for correction, you see, it's how we respond to reproof that determines our maturity. See, every baby can drink milk, all right? But at some point, you need to be able to start chewing food. And that's how you say, hey, when it corrects me, how do I respond? When he speaks to me in ways that I don't enjoy, how do I respond? And so we like instruction. We're uncomfortable with correction. In fact, Paul goes on to encourage Timothy in that passage. He says, preach the word. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and instruction. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but wanting to have their ears tickled, they will accumulate for themselves teachers in accordance to their own desires, and they will turn away their ears from the truth. He says, preach the word, and he says, reprove, rebuke, exhort. And I like the exhort part. That's my gift. I want to do the exhort part. He says, hey, reprove and rebuke. Do not be afraid to give correction, because correction is a key to instruction. And any of you who've had children or nieces and nephews know it's instruction alone is not enough to mature a child, is it? Gotta have some nose in there. I had a delightful couple of days with my grandchildren. And, They got their mother's strong will. Their grandmother's strong will. No, they got their grandfather's strong will. That's what I saw this week. Wow, that's kind of scary. But But we step into this issue last week of talking about Ezra, who set his heart to study, to practice, and to teach. And it would just seem like that should be this nice, easy flow, okay? You just make that decision, and here we go. And how many of you thought, you know, hey, I gave it to God, and I just, whoo. It's those loops in between, am I right? So, why do we get stuck? I think we get stuck by how we handle correction. So we heard even just a little testimony about that this morning. In the process of the disappointments of life, how do we say yes to God? So I'd like you to turn with me to Proverbs chapter 1. The wisdom that God gave to Solomon. And he talked to him and through him about this very subject, about how you respond. And again in the book of Proverbs, there's that invitation to fear the Lord and grow in wisdom. But there's an awful lot about correction. So why is it that we need so much correction? Well, because we be sheep. And sheep go astray. You know, I mean, we've got a great shepherd. Amen? We got a great shepherd. He's looking out for you. He'll go even when there's 99 in and there's one still lost. I mean, all the stories keep pointing back to what? That we wander. So we need a reminder, I guess, because this is the word that God gave me. And here it is. Proverbs chapter 1. And this whole first chapter is just talking about this. Wisdom talks and it speaks. It's personified and it's this marvelous interaction. But in 1:23 it says this: "Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." And this is wisdom personified speaking, but we know all wisdom comes from God. So God is speaking through this exhortation. He says, "Turn to my reproof. I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you." Now, the last half of the verse is a lot more exciting than the first half, isn't it right? "I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my word known to you." And we say, "Yes." Yeah. Then come home. Just turn. Turn. I need correction to continue on course. That means I need to be correctable. If you and I want to be wise, if we want to be powerful, if we want to be transformed, if we want to develop understanding, all right? And whether that's in business or relationships, friends, then I need the wisdom of God. And that means I need to be correctable. So how highly do you value correction? When you're going after something, are you willing to receive the correction? He says, "Turn to my reproof." When you're deceived, you do not know you're deceived. Because you are deceived. That's a scary thought, isn't it? Which means I need my brothers and sisters. I need the Word of God. I got to get in every day because I will deceive myself again and again. And you may be pursuing something of value, and yet we still need reproof. We still need an exhortation. I spent 10 years of ministry in Carson City, Nevada. And one of the things that was interesting about being there is exploring a little of the history in Virginia City and the Comstock mines and things down there. It was very interesting when they, you know, if you haven't read about it, it's, you know, they were there looking for gold and they kept having trouble. And their rockers, when they were trying to sift out the fine gold, would just be plugged again and again, and they were frustrated. In fact, some guys had given up on it. And a couple of the guys took this stuff in that was plugging up their rockers and keeping them from being able to get to the value, and found out that they were throwing away pure silver. pure silver. And they're going after something of value, but there's something there that they weren't even recognizing the value of. And I think oftentimes when we say, I value instruction. Yeah, that's gold. Okay? If instruction is gold, then correction is silver. All right, friends? Are you there? Say, instruction is silver. And so we need to value that. And so he says, turn to my reproof, and I'll pour out my spirit on you. I'll make my words known to you. The father reproves his children to produce wisdom to walk wisely. That's why an earthly father tells his children, it's not just to straighten them out, it's so they'll walk. Your goal is not to raise children. Parents, your goal is to raise adults. And so I speak to them, I correct them so that they will continue to choose wisdom of their own accord, that they have turned to the value of truth. All right? So when he says turn, it's that word that we oftentimes will look back to, and we use the word in the New Testament, repent. It means to change. But he's saying turn to the point of your departure. I think that's an interesting thought. That's what this word is. It's the idea. He says, I want you to go back to where you walked away and get back on track. We spoke a few weeks ago, this idea of returning to your first love. And it seems like God's got me stuck here right now. So I'm just sharing what I'm learning, okay? But that idea of returning to your first love and saying, hey, where have you made a commitment? And are you still walking in that? You know? And for me, one of those things was, as I was praying through the specifics, because that's what you hear me preach. So I'm praying and say, God, okay, what does that mean for me? Because I have to practice this stuff before I preach it and after. Sometimes that's really frustrating. I just like to tell you guys it all, but I got to go walk it out, just like I'm asking you to do. And one of those ones was, hey, you said we meet at 5. You said this 5 o'clock, I'm back to, but Lord, and have you ever found how many excuses you can give to God when he talks to you about something specific? Man, I get frustrated with that. But he says, turn back to where did you walk away? Then this is back where we walk back to. So to my what? My reproof. What's reproof? Well, there's a couple different words that work together here, but reproof has the idea of an argument to expose error. Some of you, when your children get to about 13, know exactly what reproof is. So all of a sudden that intelligence has exceeded yours, and you are trying to bring them to this point, and you're hey, they don't know some things that you know, but they think they already know everything you know. And they think you don't even know anything, right? And all of us who've been in that spot can look at that and we laugh and we chuckle. But if a parent on earth knows more than their child, how much more our Father in heaven than his children? I need his reproof. I don't think I do, because I think I know. I'm doing fine. Change. That's what he says. Turn. And so God is a holy, all-knowing umpire. That's really what this is about, is this statement here of a reproof. It's like, you're out. Throws the flag. He's always right. He's always good. He's always loving. And he knows it all. One of the most frustrating things in a sporting event is watching an umpire throw a flag and they miss the whole play, isn't it, guys? Our God never misses a play. So when he throws a flag on you, don't do this lip thing back to the umpire. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Into the box. Whatever it is. Proverbs 3:11-12. Read these with us. This shapes this attitude we're supposed to have, and it gives you something here if you catch it that for me helps my heart move towards this value I'm encouraging you to have. Read it with me. My son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord, or loathe his reproof, For whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father corrects the son in whom he delights. Whom the Lord, what? Loves, he reproves. Why should I value reproof? It's a mark of love. It's a mark of love. When I am getting corrected, it means God loves me and he's not done. And some of you have been in the woodshed. Some of you have been in these difficult times and you're like, God, why? You know, I love you. You know, what was it? Tevle, Fiddler on the Roof. Hey, don't love us so much, God. I've been there. You're like, hey, I don't. We don't want holiness as much as he does. But I want to want it. Can you tell him that? You know, I want to want that. All right? Because Father is more than willing to reprove the rebel. And all of us got some rebel in us. The Bible says all of us have gone astray. All right? But he reproves the rebel. Why? Because he loves us. All right? Because he loves us. It's not because he's punishing. He's correcting. He's guiding. He's redirecting you. All right? And so when we get chastised, when we get corrected in the Spirit, in the Word, that we need, I want to have this humble heart that says, okay, Lord, thank you. Jesus was talking to his disciples about the issue of prayer, and he brought this thing up that it reminds us, I think we have to hold on to, because I find people have these funny, twisted ideas about God. And it's like, I've had people literally tell me this, you know, I just pray to Jesus because I like him, but I don't pray to the Father because he's scary. What? Jesus was the manifestation of the Father. That's what he was. He was a visible demonstration of Dad to us. That's why he came. And he loves you. And he told his disciples right before he left, he says, you can pray straight to the Father in my name because the Father himself, what? Loves you. And we sing this song that Jesus loves you. I'm here to say Father loves you. Father loves you. And he loves you enough to correct you. And so I want to encourage you, receive his reproof. Receive reproof. You want to walk wisely? Then you have to value correction. So I want you to think about it right now before we move to this next thought. Because there's three thoughts, I'm only doing one verse. Three thoughts. Where has he been talking to you about this? See, it could be in your business, a supervisor giving you correction. It can be a spouse. It could be your child. It can be some other situation in your health where God's bringing something to your attention and says, this needs to be dealt with. Are you saying, thank you so much for bringing that to my attention? You know, that's your guy's response when you're driving down the road when the wife mentions the speed limit, isn't it? Thank you so much for bringing that to my attention. Amen. That should be the attitude. All she's trying to do is spare you a ticket and a screaming fit after that guy drives away, right? That's love, isn't it? Tell me, ladies, that's love, isn't that right? That's love. That's just love. That's right. That's right. I know some of you guys have to do that for your wives. We won't mention any names. He says here in Proverbs 2, he says, my son, if you will receive my words, treasure my commandments within you. Make your ear attentive to wisdom. If you'll incline your heart to understanding, if you cry for discernment and lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you'll discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Isn't that good stuff? You know, there on the side of the hills there in Nevada, they dug 3,000 feet down to get to the silver. And we're talking with pickaxes. Yeah. That's where they discovered square timbering there, so you could do that without it collapsing in on you. They invented that in Nevada. But it's because they valued something. They said, I'm going to do what it takes to get it. We need to value correction. And so I want to hunger to walk wisely with my God. I hunger to walk wisely. Boy, sometimes you look back and you go, that wasn't very wise. Okay, then where do I need to receive the correction? I can learn from every experience. I found in sports, I learned far more from my losses than I learned from my victories. Learn from them. So he says, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. Now it can be seen that this is the spirit of wisdom. But is not the Holy Spirit the spirit of wisdom? Is not the Holy Spirit the one who inspired the book of wisdom? He is wisdom personified. And so the Father promises something for us. This is neat. So I want you to receive my reproof, and then I'm going to do something. He promises to refill the spirit of the repentant of heart. Okay? He promises a refilling of spirit to the repentant of heart. You can come home and experience welcome in the Father's house. You turn back, he says, I'll fill you back up again. I mean, isn't that cool when the prodigal son comes home and father says, hey, I got a rope for you. I got sandals for you. I got a ring for you. I'm going to honor you. I'm going to welcome you. Because there are times when we feel the reproof of God in our life, and instead of seeing reproof as an invitation home, we see it as a boot out. And you've totally missed it. That's deception of the enemy. God's correction is from love, inviting you home, not pushing you away. And so he says, if you'll come home, if you'll respond to my reproof, I will pour out my spirit on you. Not I'll drip it, I'll pour it. All right, there's an abundant provision. And so, what? Turn toward Father. That's this whole message. Turn toward Father when you get the correction. In fact, I learned, I'm not sure how young, I was not the most observant child. But I learned at some point in the discipline process, the best place to stand is close to the person giving you discipline as you can get. Some of you know what I'm talking about, okay? When you stretch to get away, you just give leverage. That is not helpful, okay? So turn to Father. He says, I will pour out my spirit. I will bless you. You turn, I bless. All right? You get that? You turn, I bless. That's his provision. That's his plan. And so God gives hope to the wanderer. And so if you're a person here saying, yeah, but you don't know, you're listening to my voice and you're saying, yeah, but James, you don't. Yes, I do know. I know Father. I don't have to know where you've been. I know Father. You can come home. All right? And he wants to bless you. He's a father of compassion. So why does he have to bring this up? Because he knows we make errors. All right? But your error affects your ability to keep serving. Your errors affect your ability to receive. All right? But he wants to bless. But he says, there has to be a turning so that I can. I have to align myself. Remember we talked about this a little last week? I have to align myself with the place of God's blessing. The faucet is there. The bucket doesn't earn a blessing by getting there. It just places itself under the faucet and it receives the filling. Okay? When we align ourselves to God, we receive the filling by returning to what? To the place of blessing. So think about this. In the Bible, in the New Testament, remember the Old Testament provides the foundation for the New Testament. He talks about the Spirit quite a bit in detail about our personal relationship. So read this verse with me from 1 Thessalonians 5:19. Do not quench the Spirit, which means the Spirit can be quenched. It means you can miss the opportunity to experience the fullness. You can quench it. Now, there's times when people say, you know, you can't stop the move of God. God says you can't. He says you can quench it. He says bless somebody. He says love that person. Isn't that right? Greatest commandment, love the Lord your God. And then love your neighbor. He says love that person, love that person. He says, no, I am not going to love them. You just quench the spirit. Where? In you. The well is still there. There's plenty of supply. God lacks nothing. But you have to say yes. So don't quench the spirit. Now, how do you know whether or not you're quenching the spirit? Well, it's interesting. I started at the end of the chapter, or not the end of the chapter, into that passage there in 1 Thessalonians 5. Look at a couple other verses in that one. 5:16 talks about what? Read it with me. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. There is a response that God invites me to in every circumstance of life. If what? If I want to experience the opening of the valve of the Spirit in my life, I must rejoice. If I do not rejoice, I do not receive. It is that clear, friends. Because you see it all the way through the book. True? Give thanks, rejoice, praise Him, all the way through. All the biggest book in the Bible is a book of praise. All right? There's a point there. And where's it at? Right in the middle. You think God had a point there? This is a point. He says, hey, rejoice always. So if I am going to receive the filling, he says, I want to pour out my blessing, rejoice always. Turn that stuff back over to me. And you know what the next verse is, right? It's that other one you love so much. 5:18. Read it with me. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So if I'm going to experience the filling of God in my life, in every situation, my response has to be, thank you. Thank you. So you and I can know whether or not we're walking in fullness. So whether or not we're receiving what He has. Because if I'm receiving what the blessing of God, I will praise Him. See, it's when we don't like it that we miss it. And it's easy to praise God when things are going the way you want, isn't it? I mean, it doesn't mean we always do it. I mean, we can be ungratefully happy. Isn't that ridiculous? Okay, but we're not, we're blessed, but we're not still grateful. But there's, when it's pain that you're waking up to, can you say, thank you for this good day? That's the test. And I'm here to tell you, it's true. You can thank Him in every situation. You may not like every situation, but you can thank Him in every situation. And so here's the deal. When He says, turn and I will pour out, God's grace is certain. He says, I will. In fact, when He says that, behold, I will pour out, He's saying, notice this. Notice this. I will do this. So, what am I trying to say? You and I can be totally filled in any and every situation. He promises that if we'll keep turning back to Him. Every hour of every day. Remember I talked about you start with God time first in the morning, and every hour thereafter, you keep coming back to God, saying, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you're teaching me. Thank you for what you just showed me. Every hour. You turn it back to Him, okay? And we'll experience His power. We'll experience the abounding power. How? By following His correction. Because Father fills the repentant. So He says, if you'll turn, I will pour out. So He wants you to be a responsive person. And that's the goal. To walk in response with our Father. Haven't you had that experience when you're dragging a hose across the yard to go water some shrub, and you get over there It doesn't get there. You know what I'm talking about. And you look back with that wonderful attitude of blessing, and you see it's caught on something, and it's kinked. And so what do? Yank on it harder. You know you're such a... But so often it's frustrating, but what do? You got to go all the way back, and what? You got to unkink the hose so that the fullness flows, right? That's what I'm talking about. When I repent, he flows. When I'm willing to turn, he says, I will do this. Don't be griping about the fact that your hose doesn't have adequate water. There's a sufficient well. Unkink the hose. We are wayward. And the other thing is, you don't even have to be wayward. You're weak. Can anybody say amen to that? Amen. We're weak. Okay, if you're weak, you're leaky. You know, we got cracks. You guys are crackpots, isn't that right? You know, you're cracks in the pot, and you were full this morning, but you're dry this afternoon. And I want to say something. Some of you don't like that. God made the pot. Could he have made you needy on purpose so that you would stay closer to him? Could it be that he wants that closeness with you? Friends, I want you to receive the refilling. He wants to fill you up. You can be powerful. But check it out with Elijah sometime. You can move from powerful to pitiful very fast. Very fast. So you say, man, I got it. I'm here to tell you, if you got it, you're going to have to re-get it. Did you get that? If you got it, you're going to have to re-get it. He says, be filled with the Spirit. It's a present tense continuum that we're commanded to there in Ephesians 5. Be filled, be continually filled, which means a continual coming to him. There's a river flowing deep and wide of blessing, of forgiveness, of grace. It's always interesting when I go home, my parents' irrigation system, their water system is a stream, and it's about a half mile above their house. They have a dam, and it starts off at an 8-inch main, comes into their house at a 2-inch. Okay. They lack no water ever, and they never turn their water off. They just move it because there's no limit. How would you live your life if you believed there was no limit to his ability to supply, to his ability to give you, that you wouldn't stop loving that person? You may have to change. Some people need tough love. It's not always softness, but you just keep loving people. You'll keep getting the filling. Friends, how do we get that? You keep saying yes. Because we have to be refreshed. That's why I got a glass of water up here. We dehydrate quickly, don't we? And when you get dehydrated, weird things happen to your body. It doesn't go well if you don't give it what it needs. You won't have the power. And so I hunger to be being filled. Do you? To say, I want to be being filled. Filled. I have this desire in my heart. So, question is, where's the hose been king? Where's been holding you back? This is a continual process. There is abundant provision. What's holding you back? It says, turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out. And you see that in John 7. He says, he who believes in me, out of his innermost beings will flow trickles of water. All right? What's it say? Rivers. We live in the three rivers area. Isn't it a beautiful area to live in? And it's beautiful because of the rivers of water that are flowing through our area. So, what could your life be? That's what I want you thinking about. Hey, I'm thankful that there's streams. I'm so thankful for the stream that we are in this community. But I dream about the rivers that we could be. And I see, like we talked about in the small group, that when that love flows into somebody within the small group, can we then, as small groups, pour that out on the contacts of those around you in your small group into this community? Can we pour the rivers of love? Can we begin to touch those who've got nobody touching them? I was blessed this week with a visit. One of those unscheduled ones, which seems to be a lot of mine are. But I just was told by the Spirit to come downstairs. When I came downstairs, Anthony and Bailey were here. And they were the children involved in the accident during vacation Bible school. And it was just so sweet to see them, and they saw me, and they said, "Hey, you were at the accident." gave me hugs, and we're pouring love into this family. That's what we're here to do. Every family God puts you in, that's what you're here. You've got unlimited access. My mother raised 6 children. She adopted her 6th. 5 was not enough. I don't know what she was thinking. I do know what she was thinking. And then when she finished raising us, then she did foster children. And we were talking one day, and her heart was being broken by another set of foster children. And I says, "Mom," I says, "why do you do this?" She says, "If I don't love them, who will?" I says, "How do you argue with that?" You know, so I just kept doing the counseling for the lover, so she could keep pumping out, because God gave her the resource that she knew she could love. Do you know you have the resource that you need in the Holy Spirit to do all the loving that the people around you need? You've got it. It may not be easy. Some of you are dealing with very hard, painful situations. But I'm here to tell you, there's one who loves you, who wants to flow through you. And so he says, "I will pour out." And then he says this, and this is great. He says, "I will make my words known to you. If you'll turn back to me, I'm going to pour out my Spirit on you, and then I'm going to make my words known to you." If you're going to turn back to him, you already know something, because you've already got his word. But I'm here to tell you, there is more to know than what your head can know until your heart knows. All right? The Father reveals his word to those who respond to his reproof. See, when we respond, there is more that we can encounter. When a child is not receiving correction, they don't receive instruction. Have you noticed that? That's the point. When their heart is hardened, you can't tell them anymore. So he says, if you'll respond to me, when we get back into this arm over the shoulder relationship, when we're back close, he says, "I'm going to pour my Spirit out on you." He says, "And then I'm going to show you more. There is more for you to know. I don't care how much you know. You are not done with the knowledge of God. You have not reached the depths. I don't care how much you think you know about the Holy Spirit. There is more of the infinite work of God than you yet comprehend." So are we hungry for that? All right? Because see, the evidence of relationship is response. Isn't that right? Pulled up at the house where my grandchildren were, you know? And there is something about the music of, "Papa's here." Come running out and give you that hug. I don't know what that is, but it is awesome. Amen? Can the grandparents say amen with me? But what's that? That's evidence of relationship. See? He says, "I will make my word known." Let me tell you something else. I don't get what I get by my ability. It's a gift. And the words that I give you on a Sunday morning, this is a gift. In fact, this message of all messages, he gave this to me in an hour on Friday morning. He said, this is what I want you to share. And I've been doing the praying. I've been doing the studying. This was not where this service was going to be. But this is the word he has for you today. He says, I will make my word known. Jesus says, my sheep hear what? My voice. And they follow me. There is a greater revealing that he wants to do. If you want to understand the Bible more or better, obey it more. That's where understanding comes from. All right? Spiritual perceptiveness increases with your responsiveness. You'll get more. All right? Look how he put this in Proverbs 15, 31 and 32. Would you read it with me? He who listens to the life-giving reproof will dwell among the wise. He who neglects discipline despises himself. But he who listens to reproof acquires understanding. How many times I have had the encounter as a pastor to talk to someone about truth, and I have seen myself do this as well, so I can turn this on me as well. And someone brings something to your attention, and we defensively react, not receive, we react and say, but you don't know that, but that this was, and that, no, this wasn't. You're not going to acquire understanding if you're defending yourself. That's what I've discovered. You have to receive that, husbands. If she's willing to share it, receive it. There's something that he wants to speak. Why did he give you that person? Because he wants to conform you to the image of Christ. So husbands and wives, you're in a unique relationship. Children, parents, you're in a unique relationship. Receive that. They may not have it all together. It may not be given in the right attitude, in the right way, at the right time. I don't know how many times I've tried to straighten out some people in my life for how they delivered the correction I needed to receive. That's a really good word, but you know. No. Receive it, because understanding comes to those who receive it. Listen. Father reveals his truth to the responsive. Why bother if they're not? I mean, you've had that attitude, haven't you? Oh, fine. You try to tell a child something, and it's that, and I know you've never done this, but it's that, fine, go ahead and get burnt if you want to. You know, go ahead, poke your own eye out if you want to. I mean, you try to tell them something, but responsiveness determines receptivity. Okay? So listen. God's will be more obvious to you when you start saying yes rather than saying why. When you start saying yes rather than saying no. I find people say, but James, I just don't get it. I don't understand God's will. There's always more to understand. I am still learning. So I'm not saying, hey, I've got there. What I'm saying is, when you're there and you're saying, I want to understand more, then figure out where you said no. Figure out where you said why, and step into saying yes in that place, and you'll find understanding will expand. The turning of the valve allows for the greater flow of water. The turning of the heart allows the greater flow of the Spirit. Therefore, there's a greater understanding. Because he said he gives the Spirit to what? To teach us. He will teach you all things. He'll bring all things to remembrance. That's what I'm asking for. I've studied this book a lot, but it's not all being remembered yet. I want more of Him. Receive revelation. The voice speaks. The word's been written, but there is more to understand if you'll hear His voice. The Spirit is still speaking. I hunger to be responsive. Do you? I want to be more responsive to Him. Because our responses to His reproof determine our fullness of His life. Isn't that an amazing thought? That our responses to Him determines how much fullness of His Spirit we have. So what have I been trying to say? That correction is essential to becoming Christ-like. You have to value it like silver. You have to go after it like gold and say, this is what I want. You can be a wise, empowered, equipped person walking in the will of God when you respond to His correction. And it always starts somewhere, doesn't it? So I don't know where you are, but there's a starting point in your life. But for some of you this morning, the starting point is really the starting point. The Bible says in John 1:12, as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe on His name. If you have never believed on His name, if you've never said, I need Jesus as my Savior, I believe Jesus is God's Son, if you've never come to that point, then the rest of this won't make any sense. It was interesting. When Peter was preaching there in Pentecost, and he says, you guys crucified the Messiah. I can't imagine when that registered with the Jews in that crowd, that they waited thousands of years for their king to come and they had killed him. And there's somebody standing in front of them doing what? Giving them a rebuke. A harsh rebuke. He says, you crucified the living one, the Son of God. Ay, ay, ay. And some of them said, what should we do? When you get the rebuke, that's the response of reception. What should we do? And I love Peter's response. Acts 2:38. Read it with me. Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have not received Christ, that's the first step. You receive Christ, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you step into the waters of baptism and say, I will be identified as a part of His family. This morning, I don't know if you've made that choice, but I'm inviting you to receive the correction that says, today is the day to follow the Savior. Receive reproof, receive refilling, receive revelation. Father, thank you for silver and gold. Thank you for instruction. Thank you for correction. Thank you for the gift of this word that you have given to this family today. Help us to treasure it. Lord, I know I needed this. And I'm just asking for my brothers and sisters, as they're hearing this, would you show them where? Show them what habit you're talking about. Show them what pattern you're calling them away from. What pattern you're calling them to. Would you transform us? Lord, we want rivers of living water flowing out of our lives. We don't want to just be a wet spot in the desert. We want to be an oasis. That you could draw others through us. So draw today, Savior. And cause us to be responsive. And thank you that you will pour out your Spirit. Thank you that you are pouring out your Spirit. Thank you that you are giving us understanding. Even this morning, things that we asked for, you have shown us. Let us walk it out
for the glory of Jesus. In His name we pray. Amen.